Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an Asian, see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prisoners will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. And I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control buildings and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lease. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor that is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You know you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marching has never changed anything.
Thank you.
Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But, man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, shoot it! So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles. The kid no one would pick. Was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This, God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. And mess around, he saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I want to know what's in the door. He said, you sure you want to see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him, and then you felt like you wasn't worthy, and so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room, and I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me, and I said, I want you to do this graph for me, and that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you happen is, when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting, because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on not meant to be way, because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on pity way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off, because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad a cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will come.
People who live in towns and cities in Uganda and many other African countries have some access to grid electricity to light their homes and power their businesses. But many rural people aren't connected at all. But simply waiting for the grid to arrive isn't good enough for entrepreneurs like Moses Akera. He recognizes there's a good business to be made harnessing the power of the sun.
I really prefer solar to be used in the community like this, because it remains the property of the client. You don't pay bills and you don't buy fuel like somebody using generator.
So solar energy is the best option for many rural Ugandans. But being new to the industry, many solar retailers like Moses were struggling to make their businesses a success.
We don't have capacity to advertise ourselves, our products. We don't have capacity to have quality technical training.
So the Rural Energy Foundation, a not-for-profit organization, introduced the Solar Now program in 2007. Its aim, to spread the benefits of electricity throughout rural Africa by providing training and support to existing solar retailers like Moses. And they encourage other retailers and entrepreneurs to start selling solar equipment from scratch.
Most of these retailers need to be supported in terms of training so that they can be able to run their businesses better. They also need support in terms of market awareness, because so many people out here in the field do not know about solar, so we need to come and enlighten them.
As well as training, the Rural Energy Foundation loans retailers portable demonstration kits, which they use to drum up business in local markets.
What we're trying to do is these people are off-grid and they do not have access to electricity. So we're trying to show them how solar can improve their lives. For instance, we try to show them how they can make money from solar. For instance, here with us we have a shaver, so they can use this to have barbershops. We also show them how they can use it to use light at their homes. See, when you have this light in your house, the children can study at night. They can use it in their shops to work longer hours, and they can use it at home.
If retailers want to use the Solar Now brand, they have to commit to providing high-quality installations and good after-sales service. The Rural Energy Foundation helps them achieve this by training solar technicians.
We're trying to get the entrepreneurs to sign service contracts, so when they sell the product, it also comes with after-sales service. Let's say they have to check to make a phone call to the customer after a certain period to check if the system is working. And then till after some time through the service contract, they also have to go and actually do the inspection of the system.
The Rural Energy Foundation has trained over 200 retailers in 9 African countries. So far, they've sold 57,000 solar home systems and 36,000 solar lanterns. They've helped at least 400,000 people, saved nearly 5 million litres of kerosene and 12,000 tons of CO2 each year. Basil Okelo is impressed and has decided to buy the equipment from Moses to set up his own solar barbershop and phone charging business. He's taking advantage of a credit scheme which helps entrepreneurs buy equipment from Solar Now retailers to get their businesses going.
Solar Now is giving me a loan. I'm going to make a down payment of 25% now. Later, in 3 months' time, I'll make another 25%, making a total of 50%. Then the remaining I'll complete within a period of a year.
With his system now installed, Basil is optimistic about the future.
Because this is a new investment I'm going into. I have never been into this business before. But as I see, I have the expectation that I'll make money.
Moses is growing his solar retail business too. He already had a shop in town. With support from the Rural Energy Foundation, he's now set up a small village branch to cater specifically for his rural customers.
Rural Energy Foundation is very important to us. If they help us training technicians, we shall be in position to expand all over.
We hope that others will also adopt the private sector development approach. We don't want to be unique. We want to spread the word that this is a really efficient approach to get the technology diffused deeply into the rural markets.
The Rural Energy Foundation plans to expand into other African countries and broaden its range of sustainable technologies. Solar panels are now becoming a common sight here on homes, and shops buy them as well to run radios and offer phone charging, increasing their income and enabling people to communicate. And to everyone's delight, the local bar has installed a fridge powered by the sun. The owner is pleased with his investment.
Yeah, we're happy. Because it's cold, the beer tastes better, and so I get more customers.
People who live in towns and cities in Uganda and many other African countries have some access to grid electricity to light their homes and power their businesses. But many rural people aren't connected at all. But simply waiting for the grid to arrive isn't good enough for entrepreneurs like Moses Akera. He recognizes there's a good business to be made harnessing the power of the sun.
I really prefer solar to be used in the community like this, because it remains the property of the client. You don't pay bills and you don't buy fuel like somebody using generator.
So solar energy is the best option for many rural Ugandans. But being new to the industry, many solar retailers like Moses were struggling to make their businesses a success.
We don't have capacity to advertise ourselves, our products. We don't have capacity to have quality technical training.
So the Rural Energy Foundation, a not-for-profit organization, introduced the Solar Now program in 2007. Its aim, to spread the benefits of electricity throughout rural Africa by providing training and support to existing solar retailers like Moses. And they encourage other retailers and entrepreneurs to start selling solar equipment from scratch.
Most of these retailers need to be supported in terms of training so that they can be able to run their businesses better. They also need support in terms of market awareness because so many people out here in the field do not know about solar, so we need to come and enlighten them.
As well as training, the Rural Energy Foundation loans retailers portable demonstration kits, which they use to drum up business in local markets.
What we're trying to do is these people are off-grid and they do not have access to electricity. So we're trying to show them how solar can improve their lives. For instance, we try to show them how they can make money from solar. For instance, here with us we have a shaver, so they can use this to have barbershops. We also show them how they can use it to use light at their homes. See, when you have this light in your house, the children can study at night. They can use it in their shops to work longer hours, and they can use it at home.
If retailers want to use the Solar Now brand, they have to commit to providing high-quality installations and good after-sales service. The Rural Energy Foundation helps them achieve this by training solar technicians.
We're trying to get the entrepreneurs to sign service contracts, so when they sell the product, it also comes with after-sales service. Let's say they have to check to make a phone call to the customer after a certain period to check if the system is working, and then till after some time through the service contract, they also have to go and actually do the inspection of the system.
The Rural Energy Foundation has trained over 200 retailers in 9 African countries. So far, they've sold 57,000 solar home systems and 36,000 solar lanterns. They've helped at least 400,000 people, saved nearly 5 million litres of kerosene and 12,000 tonnes of CO2 each year. Basil Okelo is impressed and has decided to buy the equipment from Moses to set up his own solar barbershop and phone charging business. He's taking advantage of a credit scheme which helps entrepreneurs buy equipment from Solar Now retailers to get their businesses going.
Solar Now is giving me a loan. I'm going to make a down payment of 25% now. Later, in 3 months' time, I'll make another 25%, making a total of 50%. Then the remaining I'll complete within a period of a year.
With his system now installed, Basil is optimistic about the future.
Because this is a new investment I'm going into. I have never been into this business before. But as I see, I have the expectation that I'll make money.
Moses is growing his solar retail business too. He already had a shop in town. With support from the Rural Energy Foundation, he's now set up a small village branch to cater specifically for his rural customers.
Rural Energy Foundation is very important to us. If they help us training technicians, we shall be in position to expand all over.
We hope that others will also adopt the private sector development approach. We don't want to be unique. We want to spread the word that this is a really efficient approach to get the technology diffused deeply into the rural markets.
The Rural Energy Foundation plans to expand into other African countries and broaden its range of sustainable technologies. Solar panels are now becoming a common sight here on homes, and shops buy them as well to run radios and offer phone charging, increasing their income and enabling people to communicate. And to everyone's delight, the local bar has installed a fridge powered by the sun. The owner is pleased with his investment.
Yeah, we are happy. Because it's cold, the beer tastes better. And so I get more customers.
All right. Well, we're going to have some events here that hopefully we'll hear some of the people that you've heard on this audio. Now, we've had one on here in the past, Julia Magala, from Uganda. We had him on here maybe about 6-7 years ago, somewhere around six. We had him on here from Uganda, and we're going to. I've got two more we're scheduling. We're having a carpenter on, a young lady in Kenya who was unemployed in Kenya, needed a job, and she taught herself carpentry. She taught herself how to become a carpenter. Now, and she makes furniture. And now she's gone from having no skills at being a carpenter to being a skilled carpenter to having five people work under her in her business. So we're going to have a Zoom call with her from Kenya. We'll announce the date on that once we have that set up. I was just chatting with her not too long ago online. And one's a farmer, and the other guy, he is also a carpenter. Now, today's podcast is titled, and we can get into trending topics today, off-the-grid plumbing. Off-the-grid plumbing. Now, I ran across a situation here where I'm at right now where the normal red-blooded American or Westerner would think, you know what, you need to call a plumber. But plumbers can be very expensive. So I'm thinking, you know what, they're off-the-grid solutions. So I got on the phone this morning, called some off-the-grid friends of mine right here in the United States. They asked me to call back at 6. I'm going to call them back at 6 today because I want an off-the-grid plumbing system here where I'm at. And we shall be having offline events plus webinars where you can have the plumbing that you desire, but it's off-grid, and you will never, unless you want to, you will not have to deal with a plumber again. You won't have to deal with a plumber again. You'll have a simplistic plumbing system where you can bathe, cook, wash the car, what have you. Plenty of drinking water, but you will not have to deal with the regular Yellow Pages plumber again, nor an electrician. So, because when I ran across this situation this morning, I knew, okay, this is a time for an opportunity. Off-the-grid plumbing. So we're going to have to set up webinars for those so you can actually, you know, and participate. Now, other than that, trending topics today is Friday. Anything you guys want to talk about, if anything at all? Whatever trending topics that you're aware of. Let's see. And one would be the topic that is streaming would be the Jesse or whatever his name is, Smollett case in Chicago. He is out on an appeal bond, I believe. He's appealing his 150-day jail sentence. And I guess throwing the $30,000 fine. So a jury's found him guilty, but he is appealing that. So he's out on bond. Which I don't get that one, but I warned Houston if you're out there, and I've sent something to him on, I don't know if he's on available right now, but I just sent him a message. But he's out on bond now. Now, I get the part before the trial that he was out on bond. I get that part. And I get the part that you are allowed to appeal. Okay, well, you know, all right, he was within the time limit to file the motion for appeal, and he bonded out on that, so I guess that's the rules of the way they roll it up, you know, roll it in, what do you call it, Chicago, Cook County. Anyway, but if you guys got any trending topics, anything you wanted to discuss, I'm looking forward to, I also got a note out to Kimmy K, who's been on here recently, because we want to start doing webinars. Get a visual part of this going. And a lot of these will probably take place off hours of It's My House. So we'll keep on having this. But we'll have, you know, like, for instance, the lady that we're going to have on from Kenya, we'll have to do it 9 p.m. her time. And I'm on Eastern Standard Time. So, and once I figure that out, if you can figure it out for me, 619-768-2945, that's the number to call. Like I say, it's Friday here, and we're, matter of fact, we might do that while we're, PM. Matter of fact, Robin, are you available? If so, okay, here you go. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning.
Let me see. Well, hold on. I can do it while you're right on air. All right. I got a lady in Kenya who's a carpenter now.
Yeah.
She was unemployed. She needed a job. So what she had available were pallets because she can get those for free. And she taught herself carpentry by making furniture from pallets. Now she's got 5 employees. So she's agreed to come on to do an interview via Zoom with us. But it's got to be at 9 p.m. her time in Kenya. So
okay.
Let's see, time in Kenya right now. I'm finding out what that is right now. All right, it's 6:07 p.m. in Kenya. So they're, let's see, it's 11 a.m. right where I'm at, 7 after 11. So, 12, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They're 7 hours ahead of us. So 11, so if it's 9 p.m. in Kenya, 7 hours before that would be 2 p.m. here.
Yeah.
If I'm correct, okay. So soon, We're going to have a webinar. And I have to check with her, but she's available at 9 p.m. Kenyan time via Zoom. So this weekend we'll set that all up. So I figure if she's available at 9 p.m. her time, that's 2 p.m. our time. Now, that's past our usual it's my house time by at least 30 minutes. Hold on. And that's if we go overtime. Because typically it's my house is from 10:30 to sometimes we run to 12:30. That's normal hours. And then, like the other day, we went to like a little bit past 1 p.m. So, that's overtime.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, we'll let people know in advance, huh?
Yeah, start your show later or start another show.
Ah!
That's why
you're the gurus of the guru. On those, you're absolutely right. What we'll do is we'll start this podcast later, but we're still going to do the Zoom thing.
Yeah.
Because with Zoom, nobody has to pay a phone bill. With if we do it, I don't think she can call in to.
I will conference it all in.
Right. Well, there you have it.
I will conference the Zoom into the podcast.
Right. So what we'll do on those days, like I said, we'll just the recorder to have her in our archives. We'll do a simultaneous thing. We'll do the webinar conference. You'll set that all up. Plus, we'll do the blog talk thing, but we'll start that at a later date,
oh.
A later time. So instead of starting it at 10:30, we'll start it at 2 p.m. All right. So, and then I've got another guy out of, I think he might be out of Uganda, though. He is also a carpenter, and we're working on a farmer, a millionaire farmer out of Kenya as well.
Because
they basically work off the grid anyway.
Yeah.
To a high degree. So
they live
off the grid. Right. So. In any event, because we got to start looking at off-the-grid solutions because, we've been automatically conditioned to, like this morning, thought, man, a plumber, that's going to cost an arm and a leg. And, but they're off-the-grid solutions.
Yeah.
And they've been around, actually, hundreds if not thousands of years.
Correct.
And you know what? We're going to get some Amish people on here. We're going to get some Mennonite people on here as well. Because they seem to function off the grid. Now, Amish are more hardcore off the grid than Mennonite. Mennonites can be off the grid, but they're more tech savvy, that's not the right word. They use technology, technology, more so than Amish people do.
They will use technology.
Right.
And electricity.
Right. Right. Anyway, on a trending topic, what's your thoughts, if any, on Mr. Smollett?
Yeah.
He got convicted of, he got a real light sentence in my opinion. 150 days jail time, which is less than 6 months.
How did he get out? How was he? Somebody explain that.
I don't know. I have sent a note to Warren Houston. named Warren Houston might, I haven't seen him in a while in the mornings. But I sent him a note, and if he's available, he usually gets right back to me, but he might be out working right now. But, yeah, I don't know. But whatever it is, it must be legal and on the books.
Okay.
My whole thing is, all right, the judge gave him, in my opinion, a real life sentence, 150 days jail time, $30,000 fine or whatever it was. You know, we're talking about, what's it, April, May, June, July, August. You know, he'd be out a spring and summer bit. So fall, he's out. Plenty of time for the holidays. And the judge did tell him that he can work
anywhere he wanted to work. He's going to mess around and get his appeal, and then he's going to mess around and get a worse sentence than what he got. Keep playing.
That could happen to him.
And that's what's going to happen, and that's what should happen.
Yeah, because when we was talking about, what was he yelling the other day? I am not suicidal. I mean, come on, man. Leave the acting for Hollywood. Particularly after the time that some of these other people get. Man, that 150 days, he can sleep that away. But anyway, he's out on appeal bond. I mean, but by the time he goes through all that rigmarole, you know, with, you know, this hearing and that hearing and do this motion and that motion, by the time he goes through all that, and like you said, he'll probably end up serving that sentence. By the time he goes through all that, he could have done his time.
Yeah.
But he's keeping it alive. That's his constitutional right. Let's see. We'll have a webinar and I'm pretty sure this other guy from Uganda. I'm pretty sure he'll say yes. I already got a yes from the carpenter lady out of Kenya. And I sent a note out to Kimmy Kay for a webinar as well.
Yeah.
So hopefully she'll get back to me this weekend. And then I'm ready for it. So anyway, what's going on in your neck of the woods?
Staying in status quo. I have some health issues, so I've been taking it easy. My recovery is coming along quite nicely. I think I'm on the upturn swing instead of the downturn swing now.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Yeah.
Well, that's good to hear.
Yeah.
All right.
So, looking forward to being back 100 soon, 100% soon. I can't say as yet when, but soon.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to be watching a bunch of videos this afternoon on off-grid solutions for hydrating, off-grid solutions for plumbing. There's plenty of plumbing. I mean, I look at when certain things happen to people, it's the universe's way of getting your attention.
Yeah.
And there's always an opportunity. connected to it. Oh, here's another trending topic. Brittany Griner, WNBA player. She has been detained in Russia. It's been a solid 2 weeks now. Any thoughts on that? Oh, and let me throw this in there. I believe that Brittany Griner was one of these people that was kneeling, like, you know, when the whole Kaepernick thing was going down. Now, she has been detained in Russia for the last 2 weeks.
And they just
and now she needs the United States help.
What?
Is she still kneeling? That's my question.
Well, no, she's still in custody until May.
Hmm.
They haven't released her yet.
Yeah, I know they haven't released her, but I'm talking about, but I believe she was one of the people that kneeled and said, you know, America wasn't this, that, or the other. But now she needs help from the United States. So what
and
should she do?
She's not getting any.
She ain't got none in the last 2 weeks.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so where's that contingency at?
Okay, so this is what I say.
Where are those people at?
Back it up. Even before that, because this is what the ADOS people are saying, and anybody else, this is what I'm about to say. You committed a crime. It would be one thing if she went over there and knelt down, and then there was blah, 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 but she took some form of illegal. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So we have to back it up to where it starts, and that she committed a criminal act. It wasn't a freedom of speech violation or blah blah blah. You understand? That's why no one's
right.
coming to her support. Am I making sense?
Right.
Yeah, so while they should be, the NBA, blah, blah, there's a whole bunch of people that should be supporting her. Where's their lawyer? Where's their – see, these guys, you need to understand, when they're playing sports and they just get paid straight out, there's no insurance for them.
Mm-hmm.
There's no legal aid for them. You understand? And then
right.
these guys are going out, and they're going, some of them literally are going from being destitute and poor to, and over here in the United States, yeah, you can fly free and take some bait pins and hop on a plane and go around
right.
and do whatever, but you cannot do that in another country.
Right.
Simple.
Now, she was leaving Russia. She wasn't entering Russia. She was leaving Russia and got busted.
It doesn't matter. She brought them over there with her.
Okay.
It doesn't matter that she didn't get caught bringing them in.
Maybe she brought them over there. Maybe she brought them over there, though. There is a black market, you know.
It doesn't matter. And so now it's possible, there's better hope that they don't get her for distribution or trafficking now.
Right.
You understand? So
right.
there's a reason why she's in custody.
That's true. Well,
so,
my question to you is, she you know, should she, who's going to help her out? Because she was on the knee, you know, she was one of these people that the United States is bad and, you know, kneeling, like, you know, the whole Kaepernick thing. So she needs help, so should she keep her position? The United States is bad and not expect any help from the United States at all, or will one of her reparations people help her out, or ADOS people help her out? What, you know, what do you think? Where do you think she should go? Because she already eliminated one possibility.
Do what other people do in the situation is get a good lawyer.
Should that be a good American lawyer or a Russian lawyer?
Whatever it takes. No, but they're probably going to need to get counsel over there.
Well, yeah, she's going to need a Russian lawyer for sure.
So whoever her people are, or people want to support her, then they need to rally together and get legal representation for her in that country. Otherwise, she's at their mercy.
Let's see. Before I go to another call here. A Russian court extended Brittany Griner's detention until May 19th. Oh, what does that read? Now, a Russian court extended Brittany Griner's detention until May 19th, state media says. Okay, maybe she needs to hire the lawyers that Jesse Smollett got. Anyway, a Russian court, but they're not Russian lawyers, though. A Russian court has extended the basketball star Brittany Griner's detention on drug charges until May, according to the state-owned news agency TASS. The Russian government announced earlier this month that it had detained Griner at the Moscow area airport for allegedly transporting vape cartridges containing hashish oil in her luggage. It is not clear when the arrest took place, though TASS previously reported it happened in February. The agency reported Thursday that the Moscow region's Kamensky court has ruled to detain Griner for at least 2 more months. The court granted a petition of the investigation and extended its terms of U.S. citizen Griner's detention until May 19th. Griner has been accused of transporting drugs, a charge that Customs Service said can carry a possible sentence of 5 to 10 years. Let's see. Let me read this to get the whole thing all right. NPR Radio, I guess, that she visited with Griner. Katrina Kalogina, a member of the Public Monitoring Commissions, a semi-official body with access to Russian prisons, tells NPR News that she visited Griner this week and found her sharing a cell with 2 other women awaiting trial for similar drug possession charges. They both speak English fairly well and have been helping translate. Brittany doesn't speak Russian at all. This is a problem. We Americans, seriously, particularly because Brittany's been going over to last 7 consecutive years. And she gets paid very well, but this is a good, you know what? If I were Brittany, and she's got 2 more months, she's got 2, I would start learning, and maybe she has, I don't know. Start learning the language, including the alphabet.
Yeah.
Make use of her time in there. And she might pick up enough so she can start to better defend herself of, you know, what happened. Anyway, If she's got those two, I'm looking at it this way. She's locked. She's been detained. That's the word they're using. She's been detained with two people that are bilingual. Okay. They speak English. They speak Russian. Okay.
Right.
She's got the three cots in the cot, so she doesn't have to worry about eating food. All she has to do is she's got two tutors in there that can teach her. She's not going to pick up the whole language in that quick, but she can get a good running start. She can get a good running start.
Yeah, but is she doing that? Because from her, I don't know if she's still not defiant. Because the whole situation from her speaking out, kneeling down, feeling that she's a bi, has to get on the plane, bring it, those are acts of defiance. So her mindset. So I don't know that her mindset is even in a position that she could humble herself to learn some other. I don't know.
Well, this is a situation where it will help if she did humble herself. The first lesson is take some lessons on the daily. Now, she's got access, I believe, to a TV, Russian TV. All right. But I'm thinking 7 years, man, come on. You should know enough to get around on your own, you know, particularly for the kind of money that they're paying her.
Yeah. And if you've been playing over there for that amount of time, there's really no excuse why you don't have more of the culture.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? And so
I agree with you 100%.
This thing was just a violator.
You know, I mean, because she, all right, I can't see the United States. I mean, where's the United States? She needs the United States now. You know, a lot of people who are defiant don't look at.
The United States has no jurisdiction over there. She went to another country.
Right.
She got a job in another country, and while she was there, she did an illegal act. They
right.
can't.
And the other country was. The other country was generous in granting her a visa to work. You know, they were, you know, in, well, anyway. 314, your mic is open.
Robin is right. It's so wonderful to hear your voice, Robin. You're inspiration. Yes, you're inspiration. You are a person of reason. And you stand for justice and law and order. That lady should she should receive the maximum sentence. Mm-hmm. Disrespecting other countries' laws.
Yeah.
And you have been privileged. I guess she's going to say, well, I'm black and we experienced slavery. And I'm a lesbian.
They don't care about that. The victimhood
story. The fact
story
that she is that.
It's not going to work in Russia.
Yeah.
Yeah, because all that's illegal over there in Russia.
Let Black Lives Matter get her ass out.
Exactly.
Provide for her defense.
Yeah. Let Black Lives Matter call Colin Kaepernick, call him up.
Yeah, but you know, I hear where Black Lives Matter leaders are being indicted, locked up. Recent case here in Ohio, where those people have done something criminal. A lot of stuff going on, man. These people ain't showing; they're not proving to be who they was made out to be.
Right, and so people can live their lives. And we've got certain liberties and freedom, within the law. And the law is for the lawless. So if you want to be a lawless person and break the law, then you suffer the consequences. That's it. I don't care if
and that's
me,
it.
My children,
that should.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that should apply to these Republicans, these Democrats. And we hear their name here lately. All this stuff is starting to come out. With Manafort, Lindsey Graham,
yeah,
saying that somebody needs to assassinate Putin. He ain't supposed to say that kind of stuff. Remember back when Castro's daughter just told somebody, well, you know, your president can be assassinated too. And shortly after, guess what happened? John F. Kennedy was assassinated. So you got the Clintons, what went on in Libya with France and Obama, Hillary Clinton,
yeah,
Susan Salzman. Now we find out Salzman's husband involved in some stuff. Biden's son involved with stuff with the Ukraine, saying that the Ukraine had something to do with messing with the election. These folks need to be put in jail and locked up or sentenced to death. What do you think, Robin?
They need to be held accountable, and they need to suffer the consequences for what the law stipulates. How about that?
Then black folks are getting away with murder nowadays. You had this black man that worked for that pizza company, the manager.
Yeah.
And apparently, y'all heard about that. Apparently, something was wrong with his order. They were delayed. He came in. This white guy, old white guy, came in and said the word nigga to the manager. The manager said something back to him, and I think he said it again. Then the manager hit him, knocked him to the floor, and he hit his head on the floor. And 2 days or 3 days later, he ended up dying from that incident.
Mm-hmm.
And the court going to let the manager go, practically. What kind of crazy mess is that? Whatever happens to sticks and stones, they break my bones, the words cannot hurt.
It's really crazy, crazy out there. So in Tacoma, they call it the Compton now because people are getting killed and shot every day now over there. And my ex-husband, he owns a piece of land that, but he doesn't have any egress to it, right? And so there's a road that goes back to the other people's property, and then someone comes to the entrance to his property. And so he goes over and he busses with the neighbor who the people are going to see, and I said, don't do that. Don't confront the people. If they're parked in a roadway, right, it's illegal to park in an alleyway or roadway. So you just dial 911, and they'll come tow it, just like that. Uh-huh. And he goes, well, I don't want to call a tow company. I go, no, you don't call the tow in the alley. There's a vehicle parked in the road, and they will come remove it, like, right now. And that's what you do. You use the law. Or you use those things, but you don't go confront people nowadays, even if they're wrong. You use the avenue, the appropriate avenue, yep, so that you don't end up getting hurt or shot or killed. And then those people that are the violators, y'all need to expect to be held accountable when you're out there getting other people. How about that?
And you know, I was talking to a guy telling him how over there in Africa, like in Ghana, our black Americans go over there talking about, hey, brother and sister. They say, welcome back home. Welcome home, my sister. Welcome back home, my brother. I said, them people rip you off as quick as you can blink. I know a lady, it's the only case, because we experienced a case like that too, where this black woman from, her name is Mophie Tahimbi.
Uh-huh.
And she went over there, was wanting to buy some land. And she paid $12,000 or $16,000 a lot for two lots. Come to find out, it wasn't nothing there. The land had been sold several times, because I went over and looked at one. It had a wall built on it, and that wall looked like it was about 15 years old.
Oh, my God.
They ripped this one off. And there's an African-American over there that's been there for years. You had some of them leave here and go over there, call themselves retiring, and they didn't have enough money. The money is short now, and they doing all kinds of things to try to survive. So that's the kind of stuff that you run into, Robin.
Yeah.
And these folks are just as big as crooks as anybody else.
Right. Because if you had done your homework, you would know that the African people, they don't have a lot of respect. They really don't like black Americans, right? And they don't have any empathy for the fact that we were trafficked away from our homeland. And the reason for this is because it was some, watch this, the devil can't come in your house unless you let him in, right? And so the slave traders, there were slave traders. It wasn't that the Europeans invaded Africa and took captured Africans and brought them back. No. They didn't even hardly have to get off the ship. And if they did get off the ship, they only had to go to the slave traders, which were African people. The African people would go get lesser tribes and capture them and take them down to the coast and line them up. And when the ship came in, they would trade them off to the whoever. Okay.
That's right, Robin.
And Africans own slaves too.
Yeah, that's right, Robin. And when they came here, they put them in the markets just like used car lots.
Yeah.
People come in, look at their teeth, look at the body, and decide which one they want. But you guess what, Robin? These football coaches is recruiting or looking at these football players starting at the middle school level.
Right.
And they have these players stripped down to nothing but their short, and they look at their body features to determine, well, this one here would be good for this. And so that's the same thing was going on in the slave market.
Yeah, and that should be illegal. Those practices in school education, I don't care. That's trafficking behavior, and it should be illegal. And also, I'm going to say this too. They don't have any health insurance or any retirement for NFL, for boxers, for none of that. And so for them to be allowed to come into our school and cherry pick our children, rip them down, examine them, and cherry pick them, right, when their bodies are developing, and then if they get injured, right, even before they get drafted, oh, well. Except for now you've got a person that for the rest of their life, they have to deal with this issue, okay? And there's no insurance and there's no health, nothing for these guys. They go, well, we figure we pay you enough money, you can afford whatever, all right? Yep.
Yeah, that's right. You know what? They shouldn't have no contact sports in high school until a kid reached the 10th grade.
I agree.
Because what the NFL is doing, using these kids as training camps and starting off young and Pop Warner and all that stuff, all those ages, and a kid go out here and get seriously hurt, what's going to happen to him?
Then it goes back on the parents' insurance. Oh, well.
And some of these parents don't even have no damn insurance.
They can't afford it.
Absolutely. Hey, L.A.,
so,
I got another thing for you.
Sir,
I'm here.
You know this idea about federal land? You've heard that before, right?
Yeah, the federal government owns quite a bit of land.
Well, see, here's the thing. That ain't the federal government's land. That land belongs to the state.
Yes.
And the states need to reclaim their damn land from the federal government. And then the states can exploit the resources on their land, drilling for oil or whatever, and benefit from it. And guess what else they do? It's pay the residents of the state royalties, similar to what you see going on in Alaska.
In Alaska, yes.
See, if that was the case, Joe Biden wouldn't have been able to close no Keystone Pipeline. And also, they wouldn't be able to be issuing leases for people to drill for oil. And if you're drilling offshore, if that offshore operation is going on in line, L-I-N-E, in line with the boundaries on either side of the state, then the state should reap the rewards of fees and whatever else that should go back to the state, go back to the people of that state.
Wow, yeah. Yep.
But the average person in the state does not know what you just said.
There's nothing in the Constitution.
If you don't know your rights, you don't have any.
There's nothing in the Constitution that says that the federal government is supposed to own land other than forts, F-O-R-T-S, as when, like F troop. Remember that?
I remember that, too.
Them type of forts. Nothing in the Constitution says the federal government is supposed to own land the way they do today. And states need to wake their butts up. Their state legislature should put out that decree and say, we want our land back. Now, if they want to lease the land to the federal government, that's perfectly fine. But it don't get to the point where the federal government tells you that you can't get on the land, you can't exploit the land for its natural resources that lie within the state. If you go out in your backyard and put a shovel in the ground and up come crews like on the Clanforts.
Beverly Hillbillies.
That's your oil. That's your resource. It's on your land. Well, the same thing should apply to the state. What they call federal land, states need to reclaim that and make that their land and the land for the people of the state. Just think how better off you would be. Hell, gasoline would probably be down to 75 cents a gallon.
Well, see, let's talk about that. America has so much on reserves that we don't even get gas, oil from anybody else. So why aren't we using our own reserves? Our own supply.
You're absolutely right, Rob. Shouldn't be buying no oil from nobody. As we've seen when Donald Trump was in office, the United States was independent of buying oil from anyone. 18 months ago, I was paying $1.55 for a gallon of gasoline. It had been for a number of months.
Yep.
Since Donald Trump had got elected.
Yep.
And this stuff about Joe Biden and the Democrats and these other dark states saying that we need to get off of oil, which is not a fossil fuel, by the way. It's not produced by fossils and decaying dinosaurs and plants. Crude oil is naturally produced. It's what they call aorganic in the earth, in the vicinity of the core.
Right. Right.
And this stuff
it's
about you
natural,
running out.
It's a natural product of the earth, of the planet. How about that?
Absolutely. That's true. And if you don't take it out, it's going to build up and come out by itself through the ground, like it does on the bottom of the oceans.
On the bottom
these steam
of the
vents.
And pressure that causes earthquakes and volcanic eruptions as well. And the geysers and the hot springs, all that. How about that?
That's right.
I think Jamaica, they've discovered an oil deposit, I believe, within the coastal lines of Jamaica. I have to monitor and see how that goes.
Well, yeah, that money should go to the people.
Mm-hmm.
Fees and taxes go to the people.
Situation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, Robert, have y'all ever watched these documentaries or these videos on these countries in Asia in these commercial areas like Myanmar or what was at one time Burma and Thailand? Man, the cost of living is so cheap in these places. A five-star hotel,
which is,
some of these are like $20 a night.
Or lower. Oh, yeah, five-star, yeah,
really?
$20 a night.
So,
yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, go on YouTube and look at it, like Street Market in Yangon, Yangon. Downtown Yangon.
Huh.
In the restaurants, it's cheap, but if you're on the street, it's cheaper. Yeah, you can buy a meal for a dollar or less, 70 cents. Of course, the people ain't nowhere near big as the people in America. So anyway, that's what I wanted to contribute to the show today.
Okay. Oh, any comment on the guy in Chicago, Jesse Smollett? Smollett or whatever his name
he
is.
He needs to be in jail for 10 years, L.A. That's some more of that black privilege. People say black folks don't have no privilege. That's the work of, people say, Barack Obama and everything else that's in Chicago.
And yeah,
just don't make those
black privilege. I'm gonna tell you another person who's got black privilege. Last month, was it the head coach Juwan Howard, head coach from the University of Michigan? He hit or slapped the assistant coach of the opposing team in the face.
Oh yeah, I've seen that.
Now he got suspended for the rest of the games of the regular season. But this is the second time that he struck somebody within a year.
So that's the song.
And
so
he really could have got fired in both cases, but he wasn't. So black privilege does exist.
And that's the song. So why wasn't he arrested?
Yeah, he should be in jail. They should file some civil suit.
Black privilege.
And people try to take up for that, man.
I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm just saying how come he wasn't charged? Black privilege is working for him.
So what does that
what
mean?
That?
We're all parties involved, Black?
Huh?
Were all the parties that were involved?
No. Jawan Howard slapped a white man in the face.
A white coach.
Yeah, white coach slapping him in the face. It's
on the opposing team.
And all he got was all right, the rest of the season suspended, no criminal charges, no firing, nothing like that. Now Woody Hayes, when he did something, they fired him. The late Woody Hayes, head coach of Ohio State football way back when.
No comment, man. That's
crazy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Jawan Howard, and a year before that, he hit another white guy, white coach. Nothing there. And they're paying him like $1 million a year.
Does he like to play Rock 'em Sock 'em Robot?
Oh, I remember that. I wonder if that game still comes out, Rock 'em Sock 'em Robots.
Well, whatever happened to that black man that drove into that Thanksgiving parade? And weaving back and forth trying to run over the white participants. That was in Minnesota, wasn't it?
I forgot where it was, but I remember that.
Lord have mercy. Arthritis pain is not fun, y'all.
Well, Robin, on that note, it's Friday. We're going to end it for today. We done all talked out for the week. So thank you, Pianki.
Robin, you've been on, and Robin been on any Amtrak trips?
No, but I'm thinking about taking one soon. I'm thinking about going to Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Be careful when you're out there.
Not to gamble or go on the trip just for the trip. It's a nice scenic ride from Seattle to Vegas, you know?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, let us know how it is. You might catch us on one of these days.
Okay.
All right, L.A., you guys have a nice weekend.
All right, same to you, and we're going to end it for today. Everyone have a good weekend.